Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. What's the connection between being happy and your income level? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is June 10th, 2013. And I'm sure that at the opening of this program, I got the interest of most of our listeners because I mentioned two things that are probably kind of important to people, happy and money. And, it's something where it's a struggle in life as far as balancing happiness and money. But our article today talks about how they are actually connected and how being happy might actually lead to more income. Not that the income is the most important thing in life. Probably being happy, having joy in your life is going to be more important, but there is a connection between them. So wipe that frown off your face, put a smile on it, because Naomi Beesable's here.
I am,
yeah.
And I'm happy to be here. But I do think it's an interesting topic. Just at the outset, at the very beginning, looking at this topic, I think about there's sort of some conflicting views in society. Some people seem to think that more money, more problems. The more riches you have, the more stress you have, and the more difficult your life becomes. And other people do really think that money can buy happiness. Mm-hmm. And so we hear both sides of that coin. But this is sort of coming at the whole thing from another perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I often will hear people say, well, I'll be happier when I have more money.
Right. And you know, the research does tell us, well, within a certain income level, that can be correct. It's true that, for example, couples who are under a certain income level tend to fight a lot about money, and that makes them unhappy, right? Whereas if you get to sort of a comfortable level, then probably that stress is taken away. Mm-hmm. So there is some, I guess, some truth to that in certain ways.
Yeah. Josh Mooney, are you happy?
I am happy, Bill.
I'm happy you're here.
I'm happy to be here. And I think our listeners know I have two kids, and I think this article will help me think about ways that I can make them happy so that they can make lots of money one day.
Well, you know, it is something. It's this connection between it almost society is obsessive about money.
That's
true. And there's so much that we do in our life that revolves around getting more money. But you mentioned something very important that actually, you know, what comes before that getting the more money in whatever form it is actually the attitude, being happy.
That's right. Being satisfied with what you have and having a good, positive attitude regardless of your circumstances.
Yeah. All right. So it's you can go in 1,000 directions on this topic. And so I'm glad we're talking about it here for the next 2 days. It's a psychology article that begins on page 22 in your Advanced magazine. And I know you all enjoy listening to this. We will enjoy talking about it. Happiness may bring you more money. So let's have our first reading. It'll be that left column, and we'll go down to line 17.
Happiness may bring you more money. A new study shows that happier teens will go on to make a higher income. Scientists may have discovered the secret to avoiding the fiscal cliff, happiness. Regardless of whether money can buy happiness, being happy may actually make you more money down the road, new research finds. People who express more positive emotions as teenagers and greater life satisfaction as young adults tend to have higher incomes by the time they're 29, according to a study published by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The difference was so great that when measuring life satisfaction on a 5-point scale, a 1-point jump at age 22 made a $2,000 difference in income down the line. between the gloomiest and the happiest brackets, that amounts to an $8,000 earnings swing.
Happiness may bring you more money. And what does our deck say, Josh?
Well, it says that a new study shows that happier teens will go on to make a higher income.
Okay, so this starts early. It's not something that we have to wait until 25, 30, or 35 to address, right?
That's right. We're going to look at a study that evaluated the lives of teens or teenagers and gauged their happiness, their satisfaction with life, and how that impacted how much money they made later on.
Okay.
So as we get into the article, we see that scientists may have discovered the secret to avoiding the fiscal cliff. Now, we have to stop here. This is a buzzword right now. It's all over the news. They've been talking about this fiscal cliff. And to be honest, I'm not sure if anyone completely understands what it is. I've heard a lot of commentaries. It has a lot to do with the economy, particularly in America, and the idea of a decline in the budget deficit at the beginning of this year.
Yeah. It's about the American government had set limits on itself as far as their debt ceiling and what they could borrow. And if they didn't make certain cuts and arrangements in their operation, then all of these taxes would go into effect and it would cause all sorts of financial problems. It was like going over a financial cliff, right, Josh?
That's right. And it was a term that had been around for a few years, but the Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve in the United States, you mentioned this when he spoke in front of the Senate in late 2012, and it just caught fire, like she said, a buzzword like none other. Every news story in America for about 3 months was about the fiscal cliff and how fast will we fall and what will happen to the world. But we avoided it, and life went on.
In this case, we're talking about individual fiscal cliffs for people avoiding their own fiscal cliffs.
Right. In other words, I guess maybe an easier way to put it would be the secret to avoiding financial disaster.
That's right, because the word fiscal has to do with finances, right? You can have fiscal responsibility in your life, and that just means making good decisions with your money.
And it's become a challenge for young people, especially college graduates here growing up at this time, because finding good, high-paying jobs is not easy. So it is a challenge for them. Now, we see happiness after the colon there, and then we begin sentence three by saying,
well, that regardless of whether money can buy happiness, being happy may actually make you more money down the road, according to this latest study.
Okay, so it's reversing things. It's saying, well, money's not going to make you happy, but happy may make you money.
Right. So we've heard that saying that money can't buy you happiness. And I believe that's true. I think that it's important to remember that happiness does not come from money. There are other things that you need to think about. And if money is your number one priority, you probably won't end up with a very happy life. But we do see that actually if we reverse it, if you focus on getting happy first, you might see a payoff.
And when might I see that payoff?
Well, it says down the road, which is a good phrase that just means in the future.
Okay. Now, we see here in line six, people express more positive emotions when?
Well, the people who do express those emotions as teenagers and greater life satisfaction as young adults. So when they're young, they feel more positive, they're happier with their life, they feel content, then those people tend to have higher incomes by the time they're 29.
Okay. Were you a happy teen?
Not really, actually.
Okay.
I had a lot of difficult things going on in my life when I was a teenager, so I would say I wasn't a very happy teenager.
Josh?
I wasn't really that happy either, and I would fair to say a lot of our listeners in their teenage years weren't happy, because these are difficult times for any young person. Your body's changing, your life is changing, there's pressures on you to be mature, but you also want to have fun. I think it's an interesting time to look at all people from around the world at this age and what is their life satisfaction.
All right. That brings up, some really good questions for particularly our, not only our teens that listen to this program, but for our parents that are listening to this program who have teenage children.
Right. I think a lot of parents, when their kids are in high school especially, it's very tempting to put a lot of pressure on them. Because, of course, this is where you're thinking, okay, they're forming their habits. They need to learn how to work hard. They need to learn how to study. They need to learn how to be responsible. But this study says, actually, maybe you need to worry a little more about their happiness and a little less about their responsibility, skills, and so on. I mean, to be fair, I think those two can go together. I think a responsible teen can be a happy teen, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this information comes from a study published by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So now, when we're talking about, okay, the differences, we're getting into that in the next paragraph.
That's right. It says the difference was great that when measuring the life satisfaction on a scale, we needed to measure what a really happy life from a not so happy life meant. So they used a 5-point scale. So I'm imagining that they asked, maybe they surveyed the teens and said, how happy are you on a scale from 1 to 5?
Yeah. Okay. So they surveyed these teens and now we get into, all right, they gave a number, but what does the number mean? How much difference does it make?
Right. Okay. So we're trying to understand what is this scale? How exactly did they measure it and what kind of change do we see? Well, here it says a 1-point jump at age 22 made a $2,000 difference in income down the line. So down the line is another phrase like down the road later on. So we're seeing that if at age 22 someone is more satisfied, later on they will make $2,000 more on average.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, Naomi, as far as this $2,000 difference in income down the line, when I was reading this, I was assuming that is on an annual basis as far as their salary.
Right. And so we see that $2,000 difference a year, for some people that may not seem like a lot, but for your average 22 to 29-year-old, it is quite a big difference. $2,000 can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. And that's right. It's interesting that we are looking at these changes to income happening pretty quickly after their teenage years. These studies didn't look at the folks, you know, into their 40s or 50s. This was a pretty near-term change in income.
Well, and the slight differences at an early age, like you're mentioning, Josh, actually do project out to be huge differences later on in careers, 10 or 20 years down the road. Because if you get started, whether it's on a slightly higher income or if you get started on a higher career track, then there will be more promotions, higher income. And so even a slight difference in the beginning can translate into a big difference later.
Not to mention, of course, that a lot of people at this age are still paying off student loans. The faster you can do that, the faster you can start saving for the future and so on. So we can see that these kinds of changes do have long-term effect. But we also see that, remember, this $2,000 difference is per point. So on this 5-point scale, between the lowest side and the highest side of this scale, that's actually $8,000 difference.
That's what we're talking about in that last sentence.
That's right. It says between the gloomiest and the happiest brackets. So I imagine if you stated your life satisfaction was a 1, that would be called a gloomy part of the scale. And the happiest brackets up in the 4s and 5s, the differences between the incomes, it says, was an $8,000 swing.
Okay. So we're talking about pretty big difference now, not just $2,000, but a huge difference between the happiest and the unhappiest young people.
Right.
So $8,000 then in a year for a young person is a huge difference.
And remember, keep in mind here, as we're talking about this, this is not their current income at the time of the survey, right? Like, it would be easy to say, well, of course the people who are making less money are less happy than the richest people. No, they asked this question 7 years before they checked the results, right? So they're saying, okay, right now, how happy are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then 7 years later, they're saying, oh, well, how did their income turn out?
Okay. All right. Let's get into our second reading.
Positive thinking may equal greater earnings. The researchers examined the profiles of more than 10,000 Americans at ages 16, 18, and 22 as well as their annual incomes at 29. They controlled for a number of factors known to contribute to financial success, including education level, IQ, height, and self-esteem. Whether smart or simple-minded, tall or short, self-confident or insecure, happier people earned bigger paychecks than more doleful peers. Deeply unhappy teens' future incomes were 30% lower than the average, while very happy teens earned 10% above average. The research team took the analysis even further, comparing roughly 3,000 people in sibling pairs who shared the same parents and, presumably, the same socioeconomic status. The happier siblings, they found, still did better than their less happy counterparts. The findings suggest that interventions to encourage more positive thinking in kids and teens could greatly improve their future success. Researchers have looked at all sorts of things that make people happier. Spending money for the sake of others seems to give people a boost, as does actively being kind to others.
Bill Quinn here with Naomi Beesable and Josh Mooney, and we are on our second reading for today, June 10th. And our section here starts off, positive thinking may equal greater earnings. And so we were just talking about a study that examined a difference between satisfaction levels and how much it translated into annual earnings now, and we are continuing to find out some more background information on that study.
That's right, Bill, and I can't stop smiling because I want to make more money in the future. No, it says that positive thinking may equal greater earnings. It may equal it, which means you might make more in the future by thinking more positively. And the researchers, it says in line 20, examine the profiles of Americans at different age levels. And the profiles, I imagine, were just the backgrounds, the type of education they had, and then eventually how much money they made.
Yeah, and we see that there were 10,000 young Americans ages 16, 18, and 22. And as Naomi mentioned, this was not something done after the fact. This was actually done before the fact. Okay, are you happy as a teenager and as a young adult, then looking at the incomes later?
Right. So then as we continue, we learn more about those profiles of each of these participants that Josh mentioned. The people who ran this study, the researchers, controlled for a number of factors. Now, what that means is that when you do any kind of study, you need to be careful that you are not letting outside factors, outside situations or characteristics, change your information. So you could say, for example, we see a list here, other factors known to contribute to financial success. For example, education level. All right. So if you say, well, all the students who were at better schools were already happier and the students from worse schools were unhappy and then they also happened to do better or worse, you know, you're saying, okay, there are other factors that make a difference here and you need to be careful that the study doesn't get thrown off by
right.
those things.
Well, I would think that what they're doing is they're setting guidelines or parameters, I might say, in certain categories, and then if the people fall outside of those guidelines, then maybe they aren't even included in the studies. For instance, if I came from – maybe they have a family income level that they ask each teenager, what level? And if I say, well, my family makes $10 million a year, they would say, well, you can't participate in this study.
Right.
They're controlling it by taking me out of that.
Or perhaps they just compared people at mm-hmm. similar levels so
yeah.
that everyone who was going to an Ivy League school, they gauged their happiness against other Ivy Leaguers.
Right. So we see the list, and I think this is really interesting. Education level, IQ, height, and self-esteem. So all of these things, we already know that they contribute to how much money somebody makes.
What's up with the height thing?
I take offense to that, being 5'7".
Well, I'm a tall girl. I'm 182 centimeters, which
yeah.
is extremely unusual for a woman. So I know that it's true that in general, they have done studies. Tall people make, on average, I believe it's something like 3% more than people who are shorter. So this has been proven before. They've done studies. I guess people who are tall just seem more responsible because you look at them like they're your parents or something like that. So you think maybe you can give them respect or trust or something.
Yeah, that's right. There have been studies showing what Naomi mentioned, that tall people statistically do make more than other people. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other physical attributes that also they have been shown people make more or less money.
Right. For example, if people are considered very attractive, they tend to make more money as well. Mm-hmm. So
it's interesting, all of the factors that they did take in. So it was pretty detailed. Then this other thing, self-esteem.
That's right. Your confidence level, how you feel about yourself can impact how much money you make in the future.
Okay. Now we continue in the second column with...
Well, whether smart or simple-minded, tall or short, self-confident or insecure. So that list is sort of referring back to all those different factors that the researchers were controlling for. So smart or simple-minded. Simple-minded means someone whose IQ is not very high at all. In fact, please don't call anyone this because it's pretty offensive to say. Mm-hmm. Here they're talking in general, so it's okay. Also, tall or short. The self-confident or insecure thing goes back to the idea of self-esteem. So do you see yourself as being someone who's capable, or do you see yourself as someone who can't do anything? That's going to make a big difference in how successful you are.
So regardless of all of these qualities, then, after the comma there in the second line.
Well, that happier people earned bigger paychecks than more doleful peers. So they looked at their income level, and we say their paychecks. How much did they earn every month or twice a month as a part of their employment? And they earned more than their doleful peers, which is very sad, depressed people at their same level.
Okay. All right. So these people are making more. Now, deeply unhappy teens, we continue in line four.
Right. It says their future incomes, so again, when they checked at age 29, were 30% lower than the average, while very happy teens earned 10% above average. So we also see here that the payout is bigger or is not as big for being happy as the loss that you get for being depressed. So the people who were happy as teenagers do earn a little more, but the people who were depressed earn much, much less. So that's an interesting concern. I mean, if I think about the level of depression rates among teenagers, I think, you know, this doesn't just affect them right now. This is their future and our economy. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Now, when we're talking about, for instance, the difference between the happiest and the least happiest, in that first reading, we had seen an $8,000 earnings income swing. That's on an annual basis. That's big in the course of a year. But then if you multiply that out over the course of a career, 40 years, just at that number, you're looking at $320,000. And actually, the number can be much greater. It can grow into $500,000 or even $1 million because of career projections, right, Josh?
That's right. So very important to look at the early start of a teen's career and into their young adulthood and how happiness can impact that. And you mentioned the word depression. Do you think we're getting, when we say deeply unhappy kids, is there a fine line between deep unhappiness and depression?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, but I do think that most teenagers, if they are deeply unhappy, there's a good chance that they could be clinically depressed. It's not always, said. Not everyone goes and sees a counselor, and they don't always get this diagnosis. But I would say a lot of people I know were depressed as teenagers. And so this isn't a light matter. You know, it's exciting to think about the possibility that a happy kid becomes successful. But I'm also very concerned about the other side of that.
And I also think it depends what day these participants took part in the survey. I mean, the teenage years can be filled with lots of highs and lows.
That's true.
Yeah, and in fact, you're talking differences in days. In fact, there's even differences in families, as we see in our next paragraph. Right, Naomi?
Right. And I think this is a great idea. This research team, to me, really did a great job of this study because they tried to make the study as unbiased as possible. They tried not to end up with any kind of slant in one direction. And one of the ways they did that was they took – 3,000 people who were in sibling pairs. So brothers and sisters, sisters and sisters, brothers and brothers, people who had the same parents, the same household, the same situation, and the same genes. And this makes for a more reliable study because you don't have all those factors that we were talking about earlier.
Right. We see that presumably they share the same socioeconomic status, presumably, meaning we are assuming this to be true. And of course, this is pretty good. It's a pretty good sample. You get two brothers or sisters in the same family. They're about as well matched as possible as far as their status. And what did they find in line 11?
Well, it says the happier siblings still did better than their less happy counterparts. So even when growing up with the same opportunities, the same level of income most likely from your parents, it still mattered. Your positive outlook increased your income in the future.
What do the findings suggest?
Well, they say interventions to encourage more positive thinking in kids and teens could really improve their future success. And when we talk about an intervention, that means someone is coming in from outside a situation to say, hey, how can we make a change? How can I encourage this person to make a big impact that will help their life become better?
I've heard of drug interventions. You hear of those quite often, or alcohol. I'd never heard of positive thinking interventions, but they're interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting idea, particularly for parents that do have maybe teens that we just talked about that are very severely depressed. Don't just put it off and say, well, they're just a teen.
They're
unhappy.
Out of it.
Right. You need to address it. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, there's another thing that makes people happy.
I love this. They give practical examples. The researchers were looking for things that do help people feel happier, and they have two examples here. One of them is spending money for the sake of others. And so, in other words, giving to charity or buying lunch for somebody, giving your money away actually makes you happier.
That's fascinating. I had heard that several times from people. If you aren't happy, go do something for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just get mired in what you are so upset about.
Well, and that brings us to the next one. It doesn't have to involve money, but being actively kind to others makes a big difference.
Generous people are happy people.
Okay. Well, listeners, great topic. Thanks for joining us here today. Come on back for day two of Happiness May Bring You More Money. We'll see you tomorrow.